Chuck and Buck Show.
What?
Oh, you guys are crewing up?
Let's do this.
Girls, what y'all trying to do? 24 karat magic in the air. Head to toe so bare. Look out.
Hey, good morning and welcome into a Bud Light Football Friday. Chuck Powell, Bucky Jacobson, and Ashley Ryan with you here as we've made it. We've made it to the Friday. We made it through the first version of the storm last night. And here we are to broadcast till 10 o'clock this morning talking about all things Seattle sports and not just football. I know it's a Bud Light Football Friday, but it's not your typical Bud Light Football Friday because the Seahawks don't play until Monday, so it gives us a little bit of wiggle room to actually talk about a couple of other things beyond the world of football. But football is our friend, our best friend in the sports talk radio world, and so we start with football this morning, and all praise to Ashley Ryan. She is on fire right now, and I know she was sweating it out, especially when D'Ernest Johnson was deciding that he wouldn't be tackled in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I thought it a couple different times, Ashley, that he was breaking one for the house, but he wasn't content. He wasn't intent on scoring.
No.
I mean, he slid down at one point and had a big run called back and everything else. But, you know, 3.5 point spread, you're up by a half a point there.
Yeah.
Now you got to experience. I know you weren't a big gambler until you joined this crew. But now you got to experience all the joy and pain of what gambling is for the sports fan out there.
It was definitely stressful. Luckily, I put in a call to D'Ernest before the game.
Nice.
And I was like, hey, just so you know. You know, fact or fiction, you know, I'm trying not to look terrible.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I got you. And it worked out.
It worked out really well.
Yeah.
Hey, you got the win. You're on fire right now.
I know.
You're the hottest gambler on the show right now.
Phew. That's until this weekend, and we'll see how I can screw that up.
No, you won't.
Well,
you know, you got to have confidence with this sort of thing.
Okay, I'll work on that.
Yeah. I mean, Puck can go like 6-13, and you would tune in the next day to his show, and you would swear that he's a genius at picking games.
Well,
right,
I think,
Bucky?
Yeah, so true.
I think the problem is, though, you get one right, now you feel pressure. When you're getting them all wrong, it's like, okay, well, I mean, what's another pick that I've gotten wrong? Now I got it right, and I'm like, ooh, now I feel the pressure to get to make a good pick today, like even more so. Huh.
Yeah. Do you know?
Yeah.
That must be a water polo mentality thing. I don't know. Everyone I miss, I get more and more anxiety. Like, come on, guy. I mean, you got a 50-50 chance, it feels like, to get this thing right. And I don't do it. And then I get mad at myself. And then I start piling on even more. Like, you get paid to talk about sports. You're supposed to know stuff like this.
No, not in this area.
Not
there's
for
no,
that.
There's no.
No, I agree.
There's no less significant test of a person's sports knowledge than picking games right. I'm telling you. You got to trust me on this.
I agree. Vegas knows what the heck they're doing.
Against the spread. I mean, I lived in Vegas. The moment that I arrived, I met this guy named Dave Koken, and he was a professional gambler. He made his money. He did radio for us, but he was a guy that he made his money, put his house, paid his mortgage on his gambling.
Yeah.
And he told me, Chuck, you know, 54% is the best, get 54%. The best.
I feel
crazy.
Like
so,
you,
come on.
You can't say that your sports knowledge is based on having to know who's going to win between Akron and SUNY Buffalo. Like that is
well, not just that, but Akron by 17.
Yeah.
Over
exactly.
SUNY Buffalo.
Yeah, no one's watching those games. So that has nothing to do with sports knowledge.
Yeah. Are you an idiot because CW Post you know, decided to go for two when there was no reason to and ended up. I mean, there's a reason why Bad Beats exists on the Scott Van Pelt show because it is just an absolute. I mean, we won last year. We dominated. And then this year we're awful until Ashley showed up. And now things are starting to turn around.
Well,
so did we get dumber? you know, from a year ago?
I don't think so.
There's a reason why I went over the top tongue-in-cheek explaining how awesome we were at Fact or Fiction. Because it's a fluke.
It is. All of it is.
But we're your foils. That's what we are here when we play Fact or Fiction during the fall. We're your foils for your entertainment. Because we don't get anything out of it for looking stupid.
No, we just get mocked.
That's Did you get a trophy? Did you get a check last year, Bucky, for winning?
No, I didn't get a check. So. I didn't get a raise. I didn't get an attaboy.
What's a raise?
Oh, yeah. All we did was get made fun of, and we're accused of cheating, and the advantage that we had to pick early in the week. We were the first to pick every day. That's all we heard last year.
Yet Jackson gets praised left and right for how amazing he is at picking.
Well, he's on a heater.
He is. But again, it's the same thing that helped you succeed last year. It is luck.
Yeah, he's on a heater. And just as Will Brinson explained just Wednesday, Bucky asked him about it. Is this the craziest football season you've ever had? Even at CBS, they're mocking the guy, Ryan Wilson, who's great, and we've had him on the show. They're mocking Ryan Wilson because he's having such a good year in their little office pool in a year where nobody's doing well and nothing makes sense.
Yeah.
That would be a reason to get made fun of. Like, do you realize how many crazy things have happened and you've guessed it? Yeah, I get that. Makes sense.
I wasn't smarter because I won last year any more than I'm dumber than I'm losing this year. But it you know, believe it or not, you wipe it all away, and it's still kind of fun to root for a couple football games over the weekend and try to be right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be right. I'll acknowledge that, and it's not working.
Yeah, I'm trying to be right too, and I lucked out last night. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, D'Ernest Johnson decides not to slide down, and you lose.
Yeah. I'm going to send him a thank you card. Maybe one of those fruit arrangements. I'll send him edible arrangements.
Will you ask him next time he plays the Broncos if he'll just start the sliding down thing in the first quarter?
Yeah, I'll work on that, too.
Start that.
Well, please. Yeah. And I'll ask Von Miller not to hurt his ankle, too.
Yeah. You all right, Bucky? I mean, the team got off to such a good start this year. What's going on over there?
Oh, yeah. I love the old 3-0 start. Although I do remember not that long ago when they had Josh McDaniels and they went 6-0 to start the season and then still proceeded to miss the playoffs. So,
so that was like more heartbreaking.
Yeah, I'm kind of used to mediocre football. Teddy Bridgewater, I don't know.
Why can't they find a quarterback? Why the hell is it so hard for them to find a quarterback? I mean, is John Elway not want anybody else to be good at quarterback?
That's what I was going
to
say. Maybe he doesn't want anyone better than he was.
I think he has his perception of what a good quarterback is going to be is somebody that has a cannon, and we'll figure out how to make the rest work.
But
and,
does he?
That hasn't. He doesn't figure out how to make the rest work.
If there was like a pattern to who he was choosing, Teddy Bridgewater doesn't have a hose. Case Keenum doesn't have a hose. You know, Paxton Lynch was tall.
He had a hose.
He had Osweiler. I mean, I don't know. There's no rhyme or reason
the
to
guys
who
they
he
draft,
chooses.
Yeah. Well, the guys they draft, the guy that they've picked up, with the Teddy Bridgewaters, they don't fit the mold. That's because those are those are guys that he picks up as veteran guys. Well, maybe this will work. Maybe this will be, you know, the next best thing since my failed draft pick. My guy that had all the tools or had a cannon for an arm can't throw it to the right guy or isn't very accurate. Then I'll go get one of these guys that, you know, off the trash heap. But none of those guys are going to be Peyton Manning. So he better draft somebody well one of these times. But he didn't even draft. They thought they were going to go with Drew Locke or felt good with Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater and go out and get Patrick Surtain. And then now you find yourself without a quarterback again.
It's a really strange thing that has happened to the Denver Broncos, over the last few years. But the Cleveland Browns, they go to 4-3, and it doesn't matter which running back they plug in, they produce. And last night it was D'Ernest Johnson. I want to mention this real quick. I want to get to what's on tap quicker than normal here this morning, but I have to mention this. I don't know if either one of you saw this. So D'Ernest Johnson has the game of his life. He was the star last night in the Thursday night, national spotlight game. And then apparently went to the podium. And, you know, normally athletes aren't that excited to go to the podium, except the time where you're the star for the first time in your professional football career. So he's at the podium, and he's talking about his big game and how excited he was and how great it was to come through for his team and saying all the right things. And then somebody brings up that LeBron James tweeted about him.
Oh, no.
And he started getting emotional.
Oh.
Like, you know, it was, you didn't get emotional because you saved your teammates' season, maybe, with how well you played, but you did get emotional when you got liked on Twitter by LeBron James?
It would make me pretty emotional, too.
Would it?
Yeah, I'd be like, okay, whoa, I've made it.
It was like a reminder, because when we watch sports, I don't think of like age groups or what generation you're from. It was a reminder of, oh, yeah, the guys that we're watching right now are those millennials that we've been hearing about for 10, 15 years who live and die with how well they're received on social media. And D'Ernest Johnson just proved it last night.
Don't you think, though, maybe that was the moment that it set in, like, what he'd actually done? Whereas, you know, you just got done with the game. You're not really thinking about all that you've done. You haven't watched game film yet. You haven't seen it. And then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, I did something really cool because
I would have thought obviously that would have been in the locker room when the coach gave you the game ball.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe not. Maybe it was just all of a sudden it was like, whoa, this was big. This was a bigger deal than just a game.
And not when a basketball player likes me on Twitter.
It's not just a basketball player.
I get it. And believe me, I'm the biggest LeBron fan at the station. So this is not a shot at LeBron. This is just, man, they really do place their value on who likes them on Twitter. That makes their day. Not saving their team season, being liked by a celebrity on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
That's crazy.
That's what makes Bucky's day, too.
Oh, yeah, it is. The way that all social media got wiped off the planet like that, I would be very, that would make my day. I'd get misty-eyed over that.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people would.
Where's that Thanos glove? That's what I would do,
yeah.
Bucky.
I just snapped and it didn't work, did it? Is Twitter still up?
Everybody's yes. still alive, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now.
But I don't want to kill everybody. I just want to kill Twitter and Facebook. Double
Can
snap.
We keep Instagram? I like looking at pictures.
No.
Just no. That's the,
no. We can't. That's okay. All gone.
Fair enough.
Thanos has decided. Denver does lose to Cleveland last night, 17-14, but Ashley wins, and that's all that matters.
Yes.
We will play Fact or Fiction today at 7:35 again, and it will be Ashley's pick, so keep riding the hot hand. This is just like Vegas, just like at the old dice, you know. If she's on a heater, you know, you just follow the heater.
Yep.
That's all.
No
that's
sevens.
All you do. Don't think about it.
Yeah.
Just follow
out.
The heater.
Yep, we got
exactly.
This.
All right, let's find out what's on tap for today.
This is Chuck and Buck's What's on Tap.
Hey, buddy, what's the deal? What are you talking about?
Brought to you by Buddy's Goodies and Glass in Renton. Remember, it's always 420 at Buddy's. Now with What's on Tap, here's Chuck and Buck.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday, but it's not your typical Bud Light Football Friday because the Seahawks and Saints will not play until Monday night. So we'll take Friday and make it Monday, and then Monday becomes Tuesday. And frankly, the Seahawks need to start playing Sundays again because you're messing up with our radio schedule. Ashley right. and I are tired of moving things around for your pleasure, NFL.
Just this change, though, we still get a Saturday and a Sunday, right?
I just make
we
sure.
do. Okay, feel. That's all I care about, as long as I have a weekend either way.
And I thought about that as I was putting together today's rundown. I'm like, no Saturday, no Sunday. That frees me to do what? Oh, okay. Watch other football.
Yeah. Yeah. So still yeah. nothing, but something.
Yeah. 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 And a couple game sixes, and maybe a game seven or two. Seahawks Saints will play Monday night. So we won't have Coach on today. We won't have Hugh on today. We will have Greg on today at 7 o'clock, so he's back in a 7 o'clock slot. We will have Luke Wilson, who we added just last week or 2 weeks ago at the 8:30 spot on Friday. So we will have Luke on today. But we've reworked the 9 o'clock hour, and so we're going to have Cam Cleland on today. today to talk Huskies football, since this is game day for the Huskies. They play tonight against Arizona. And also, we're going to talk Kraken hockey in our 9 o'clock hour with a little more flexibility in the schedule. And the brand-new member of the Kraken family, Dave Tomlinson, as announced yesterday by Sports Radio 950 KJR, Everett Fitzhugh's new partner in the booth. And so Fitz will be making his debut Saturday night, and so will Dave, I'm assuming. And Dave Tomlinson's going to join us at 9:30 to talk some Kraken hockey. And then Monday we'll treat like a Friday. So Coach and Hugh, and then Tuesday we'll treat like a Monday with Coach and Hugh. So there you go. It's very confusing.
Tiring.
I'm sorry. I probably shouldn't even explain that. I probably shouldn't explain it because it sounds confusing. But then again, I kind of feel compelled. So anyway, it's what's on tap, and that's what we're doing today. The NFL weekend, of course, does allow us to watch other football games. And so there's some good ones on tap. You got Kansas City and Tennessee. So anytime you get a chance to watch Patrick Mahomes and Derrick Henry, take advantage of it. So that's one of the big games over the weekend. College football weekend, as I mentioned, tonight, UW at Arizona. And so Tony Castro-Cone warned us, if you think this is a get-well game for UW's offense, think again. If there's anything that Arizona can do well, it is play defense. It's their offense that they can't get out of their own way. In Jed Fish's first year as head coach for the Wildcats. Still, it needs to be a win, Bucky. I mean, even if you don't win it 42-7, you need a win here against Arizona, because you don't want to explain why you lost to one of the worst teams in college football.
Yeah, well, and I think you do need to have some sort of convincing win, too, if you want to finish this season on a strong note. I mean, it's not looking good right now as far as the record goes, but there still is some things to kind of, you know, fight for. It's not the things that you were hoping for at the beginning of the season, but, you know, you lose that first game to Montana, and all of a sudden some of your wishes and your dreams kind of fly out the window, and a couple more losses, some of the bigger things kind of fly out the window, but you still have some big games. I mean, obviously the Apple Cup and the game against Oregon, and if you go out here and just kind of snooze your way to a win against one of the worst college football teams out there right now, it's one of those things that we're still going to be talking about. It's like, what is wrong with this whole thing? I mean, Jimmy Lake, I think, has to be getting these guys fired up to get out there and play a good football game. And if they do play a good football game, how they're capable of doing, or how we thought they were capable at the beginning of the year, they should whoop these guys.
Cam Cleland will join us at 9 o'clock today, so we'll chat with Cam about this matchup. Cougs week, what a week it's been. I mean, you become national headline news this week for the coaching decision, the drama that has been created centered around Nick Rolovich and his ouster this week. And so it's Dickert and the Cougs taking on BYU Saturday at 12:30. So we'll find a little time to talk about that. Oregon-UCLA, monster game within the Pac-12 this season. That will also be played at the exact same time, so you're going to have to divide your interest there if you're a Pac-12 fan. USC-Notre Dame, 4:30. Any plans, Ashley, for USC-Notre Dame at 4:30 Saturday?
I will be plopped on a couch just praying.
Okay.
To touchdown Jesus, that USC is the only one getting touchdowns.
I don't think you are allowed to do that.
Yeah. I think, I think he loves all sports, sure. All teams. Yeah. No, I'm fairly certain.
Mm.
Yeah. I think as long as you acknowledge him, he'll support you.
Oh, I see.
That's the way that works. I don't think it's just Notre Dame.
Reckless strategy.
Well, I'm a reckless person.
I'm going to have to go read my Bible again. But that sounds like a reckless strategy. We're going to find some time to talk about that USC-Notre Dame at 7:30 today. MLB playoffs last night. Man, you can't swing a cat without hitting a former Mariner doing well in the playoffs. But Chris Taylor topped them all last night. 3 home runs for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Chris Taylor, the star, the hero, historic performance, Bucky. Reggie Jackson-like. Reggie Jackson, Kike Hernandez, Chris Taylor. Only Dodgers ever to hit 3 home runs in a playoff game.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, what a game, dude. I mean, it's one of those things right off the bat. I mean, I was sitting there talking to a buddy of mine when he hit the third one, and he's like, seriously, are we just a minor league system for everybody else? And I'm like, well, let's not get too carried away. Yeah, there's a lot of guys that were former Mariners that go on to have good careers elsewhere, but I mean, he wasn't good when he was here. It wasn't one of those, well, we were shipping him out because, you know, they didn't think or that he was doing well and they just didn't want him on the team. He wasn't doing that well, but he has turned into a very valuable asset for the Dodgers, and yesterday was an amazing game. I mean, I didn't know for sure if he was going to ever match that game-winning home run that he hit, what, a week ago, week and a half ago? And yet yesterday goes out and hits three bombs and drives in six. That's beers taste a little bit better for him last night, I think, probably.
Yeah. Well, Jerry has admitted this was his biggest mistake since taking over, that he didn't spend the time to evaluate. And that's been my criticism. You're right. Chris Taylor was not playing that well as a Mariner. But everybody could see that there was some potential there, and Jerry rode into town, and Jerry wanted to wipe the board clean. And I think that there were a few players that he didn't take the time to evaluate and just shipped out because he just assumed they weren't any good. They're not my guys. They must not be any good. And I think Chris Taylor was the foremost player on that list. And so I would have liked to have seen him get the opportunity in Seattle that he got with the Dodgers, and that, all right, maybe he's not going to be your shortstop of the future, but there's some baseball skill there. There's some athleticism there. Why not try him as like a utility type player? The Dodgers gave him that opportunity, and he's since thrived. And Jerry admitted that I was hasty with Chris Taylor. I should have spent more time evaluating him before I shipped him out for a minor league pitcher with an injury history. So Chris Taylor made us pay for that last night, made the Braves pay for it. There will be a Game 6 Saturday between the two teams. And Kraken Saturday night, speaking of Saturday, big night for the Kraken, the franchise home opener, and we still are going to qualify people, apparently, for tickets to that game. So be listening for that sounder to be played every hour this morning here on Chuck and Buck. Coming up next, Jamal Adams, if anybody is convinced still out there that he's a great player, it's Jamal Adams. Sports Radio 950 KJR. Chuck and Buck, Sports Radio 950 KJR. Chuck Powell, Bucky Jacobson, Ashley Ryan with you. I'm not here. I'm not making it my life's mission to pile on Jamal Adams. But nonetheless, obviously, this has been a big storyline this year. And for the last couple of years, this player. We seem to be reminded every single week that he's not living up to the expectations that the organization had for him, even though Pete Carroll does a tremendous job of covering. Jamal Adams actually spoke to the media yesterday and made it clear he remains very confident that he's the best.
You know, I can do it all, man. You know what I mean? That's just the confidence that I have. And, all I can do is come to work each and every day and put my best effort, you know, out there, you know what I mean? On and off the field, in the classroom, just handling my business as a pro, because that's what I am. I'm a pro. So I'm not really here to complain about, you know, the opportunities that I don't have or that I don't get from last year to this year. I'll be honest with you, I'm not here to prove anything to anybody. You know what I mean? I'm here to prove myself right. You see what I'm saying? So I'm grateful to continue to play this game at a high level. I don't get caught up in, you know, the outside noise. I don't get caught up on mistakes because, you know, at the end of the day, we are human. We make mistakes. But, hey, the good thing is I got another opportunity to make up for it.
All right, Jamal Adams yesterday, and I'm starting to get the impression that Pete Carroll, not only is this teacher's pet here, Jamal Adams, for Pete Carroll, but I have a feeling that Pete Carroll spends a lot of time. Maybe he even has an entire crew working on this, that things around the VMAC are like the Truman Show. And Pete spends his entire day convincing Jamal Adams that everybody thinks he's awesome as he does. You know, like he has, you know, toadies that go out and mock up newspapers. Hey, Jamal, look what the newspaper said about you. How good you are. Isn't that amazing? They said you were the star of the game. How about that? Isn't that great, buddy? Yeah, the Seattle Journal-Times Review said you were the star of the game. Just to kind of keep him convinced, Bucky, that he's the best.
well, it's not working. It's not working to some extent. It's working to the from the extent he still does think he's the greatest and he's the best and he can do everything when he's not really showing that he can do hardly anything. I'm with you, dude. I don't really want to pile on. It does feel kind of just like, really, we got to talk about it again. But, I mean, that's what happens, you know. In our business, obviously, you end up going out and trading for him with all the capital that you gave away and then doubling down and signing and make him the highest paid safety when he's not the best safety out there. He's not even close to the best safety out there at this point in time. Maybe he turns something around. I hope he turns something around because this defense needs him to play better. And yet he just needs to keep his mouth shut a little bit. What do you mean you're not going out there to prove anything to anybody? That's what you do every time you step on the field as an athlete, is to prove people. It's not because you have naysayers. It's just because that's your job, is to go out and say, yes, watch this. This is why I deserve to be paid to play this sport. And he's not necessarily doing that. I don't understand where he's coming from at all, to be honest.
I'm glad you picked up on that, because I think that's the thing that stood out the most about that comment to me as well, was, what do you mean you don't have anything to prove to anybody? You have everything to prove to everybody. I mean, when you sign a contract, does that mean like nobody should have expectations for you anymore? When you become the highest paid player in the history at your position of your league, I mean, does that not switch on in your brain that I've got to live up to this? You know, I've got to be special. I've got to be the best. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just switched differently. I don't know, Bucky, but if I'm going to sign that contract, I would think that I got everything to prove to every single person out there. And yet, that was the comment yesterday. And it wasn't a bad comment. I mean, he was in some ways gracious and I think that respectful to the process. And, you know, he admitted that he's making mistakes. He didn't come off like an ass in that clip or in that press conference session. But you're right. Like, making the claim, I don't have anything to prove to anybody. You're making $17.5 million per year. Don't you want to prove to everybody that you're worth it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I don't, you know, to some degree, yeah, I guess you can say he did come across sounding like he's not trying to sound like an ass when he's saying things that an ass would say. You know what I mean? That's what it sounds like to me. You know, even throws in there, I'm not going to sit around and get bitter about the opportunities that I don't get, like maybe I got last year. Like, all of a sudden, maybe throwing some shade towards, well, they're not blitzing me anymore, so I don't get to hoop and holler after I sack a guy. Well, when they do blitz you, you don't get home. You know, before, I mean, Hugh Millen is kind of the guy that's taken this thing and run with it, not necessarily because he has a bone to pick with him. It's just simply because, okay, is this guy worth what you gave up for him? And then was it worth to double down and make him the highest paid safety in the history of the game? And then he pointed out that he thinks anybody, that they would have sent anybody in that position on a lot of those sacks, five of those 9.5 sacks last year, that anyone would have got there. He was unblocked. And so, yeah, he kind of just, he drinks his own Kool-Aid, I guess, is the part that is blatantly obvious. He all of a sudden went out there and broke some record for DB sacks last year. And then he just is like, yeah, you're going to pay me more than you've ever paid, and I want to be paid like a pass rusher to some extent. And they went out and actually did it. And now he thinks it's smart to come out and play subpar football at your position and then think you should say, well, I don't have anything to prove to anybody. You know, essentially he's saying it to anyone that is a critic of him. I don't listen to outside noise. Well, then what are you saying that for? What, you do listen to outside noise. Don't say you don't listen to it. You do listen to it, and you're just saying, I don't care what you think. All my job is to do is to go out and get better. Yeah, that is your job. But then your job on Sunday is to go out and prove that you're worth the money you're making. And if you don't, you have something to stand up for. There's tons of athletes that get in this situation where they're playing subpar, they're a good athlete, they were getting paid as a great athlete, and then all of a sudden they're struggling, and they come out and they say, you know what, I got to be better. You know, I'm getting paid to be a leader on this defense, and I need to do my job better. I need to be part of one of the things that gets fixed in order for us to get where we want to be. And that's one of those things that I think just about every single sports fan, whether you're a fan of him or a fan of the Seahawks or a fan of a totally different team, those are things that are respected by fans out there versus, I don't care what anybody else says. I don't have anything to prove to anybody. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
Greg Bell joins us at 7. It's Chuck and Buck, Sports Radio 950, KJ.
Can't put two hands across midcourt, and Vertz Williams jump pass ahead of McMillan down the near wing. He'll pull up for the ball, have it ahead. Rolls that leather in the palm, speeds over to Cage, covered by Ellis. Michael hands off to Payton, up fake, drives the slower Ellis into the lane. Turns the corner, stops in midair, gives off to Kemp. He juggles it, got it, hooks it up, missed it. Rebound Cage, battling with Ellis. Saved inbounds by Payton. Right to Kemp, beneath the lid, stutter step. In he comes, blocked, got it back, hooks it up, no. Rebound Kendall up, no. Blocked by Williams, grabbed by Kemp. In the lane, following jumper, blocked by Williams. Outside of McMillan, cross court to Gary.
Boy, did he say 11 to 6?
Yeah, all of that. Yeah.
Wow.
An 11 to 6 ball game.
That's the most exciting play to make the score 11 to 6 in the history of basketball right there.
I would agree.
There's a general rule that I kind of picked up on pretty early in my time here in Seattle. You look for any excuse to play Kevin Colabro highlights, Dave Niehaus highlights, or Marshawn clips. From his playing days. And so we play Kevin Colabro this morning. We play Glove this morning because last night Gary Payton was named to the All-NBA, All-75th anniversary team. Deservedly so, but one of, I guess, four primary. I'm sure there are other guys that wore the Sonics uniform now and then, like Patrick Ewing and the whatnot. But four, you know, Lenny Wilkins, Ray Allen, Glove, and there was somebody else, and I can't think of it off the top of my head. But four Sonics making that top 75 team of all time, and Glove the most notable of them, Bucky. So congratulations to Gary Payton.
Yeah, Durant, I think, was the other one you
Durant,
were thinking of.
That's it.
Yeah, yep. But yeah, I mean, those are the four. I mean, Lenny Wilkins, you know, coached the most games ever in the NBA, and Ray Allen was – he was – pretty much on fire the entire 4 or 5 years that he was here. I remember just smooth shooting. Kevin Durant is still doing what Kevin Durant did, and unfortunately we didn't get to kind of witness that as a Sonics fan for very long. He was the organization was snipered right before that, but GP was just right there. I mean, right, and for my prime, right? I mean, obviously, yeah. When they won the championship in 79, that was before my time of being a fan, and I mean, I was still probably peeing and my pants at that point, so I didn't really follow it that much. But GP was one where it was, you know, that was right when I was a young, you know, guy. I was in high school and then through college and in pro ball and all that stuff. I was cheering hard for the Sonics, and he was the guy. I mean, he was the Glove. He was just kind of the heartbeat of the team, so to speak. And it was cool to see him get on there. And you're right, man. You never can go wrong playing Kevin Colabro or Gary Payton highlights, in my opinion.
How old was Ashley Ryan during the Gary Payton days?
I was in middle school.
Middle school.
Yeah, middle school to high school.
Did
yeah.
you have like a Gary Payton, did you like doodle anything on your notebook there in middle school that had Gary Payton related?
No. No.
Were you considered the glove?
No, but I had their baseball cards or basketball cards. I had their baseball cards. I had their basketball cards.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I didn't know if you
were
had,
you like the glove on defense in water polo?
No.
Sticky?
No. I did. I mean, I do have ginormous hands, so I was good with actually like. But I played offense more than defense. So I mean, you have to play both. But I was more of an offensive specialist.
You didn't do any. Uh-huh. You didn't do any Sonics bedazzling. Is kind of what I'm getting. Were you a bedazzler?
I was not a bedazzler. No, I was pretty simple. Low maintenance. And but I was a big basketball fan. I did play basketball in high school, not well at all. In fact, when I played down on the post, and when I scored my first basket, I think 6 games into the season, my team like erupted from the bench, and it was basically an 11-6 ball game, and they lost their minds. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Where were you on the old 75 team for that kind of performance?
75 million.
They revealed the teams, of course, over the last couple of nights on TNT. And, I mean, it's entertaining. It's wildly entertaining to just sit around and listen to those guys talk about the all-time greats. But I did notice something about those guys last night. There's something about being an all-time great, especially in basketball, where you can't help yourself from running through your analysis through your own filter. I mean, every player that came up, Shaq found a way to talk about his own greatness through this player.
Yeah, of course.
It was like everybody that came up, Gary Payton, yeah, that was a great player. I remember the time he gave me a pass that made me the all-time scorer and blah, blah, blah. You know, I remember the time that he was trying to defend me, and I still put 35 on the board, but, man, that was a difficult night.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
All of them. Even Kenny. And Kenny was like an average player. And he also runs it through his filter to talk about everybody else last night that was a superstar. At one point, Kenny Smith told Dominique Wilkins, I put you in the Jordan category because I feel like you changed the way the game is played. And then you go to Dominique Wilkins, and he tried to be humble. He was like, thank you very much. That means a lot to me. And I agree with you.
Yeah, you're right.
Thank you for being correct.
Understated a little bit.
I was just so laughing at all of their analysis because as they were complimenting wildly, by the way, all of their peers on this top 75 team, they always found a way to compliment themselves a little bit more.
That's not surprising.
Yeah. All right. Well, congratulations to the Sonics that made the team and particularly to the glove. Coming up next, Greg Bell's going to join us, Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Release the Kraken.
Your chance to win Kraken tickets happens now. Text Kraken, your first and last name and hometown, to 49451. And you could win your way to Saturday's home opener from your home for the Kraken, Sports Radio 950 KJR.